The Warrior Soul podcast is written, produced, and edited by me, Chris Albert. Our mission is to provide tools, tactics, strategies, and ideas to U.S. military veterans and anybody else willing to listen to help them to navigate toward living their absolute best lives. If you find these episodes helpful, please share them out with somebody that you know of that can use them. And if you really like the podcast, please also head over to iTunes and write us a written rating and a review. It really helps us to spread word about the show, and it really helps to get these tools in the hands of others who really need them. This podcast is sponsored by F-Bomb Nutrition. They make awesome, delicious packets of macadamia nut butters. They mix them up with chocolate, with sea salt, with pecan butter. They're absolutely delicious, and they also have a number of other fat-fueled snacks, like their meat sticks and their cheese crisps. They're amazing people who are sending boxes of this stuff out to the troops on the front lines, and they're offering 20% off to our listeners on their first orders. If you head over to www.dropanfbomb.com and use the code WarriorSoul at checkout, you'll get 20% off of that first order. Okay, this is a story that needed to be told, and comes from a question. What are you going to do with your life? What kind of impact are you going to have? What are you going to create? This is something that a lot of us don't think about while we're serving, right? And I know a lot of Marines who never really planned past the age of 35. But here's the thing. When you serve, your service doesn't end when you take off the uniform, right? That's not the only way to serve this country. You can also serve this country by being a great business leader, by creating something that's going to create jobs, that's going to improve your community. And today's guests have definitely done so. As you know, I'm good friends with Mr. Scott Using, who was the commander of Echo Company, 2nd Battalion, 4th Marines, while they served in Ramadi, Iraq. And he details that period of his life and of his Marines' lives in his book, Echo in Ramadi. But I had a conversation with one of his Marines, one of the Marines who served under him about a week ago. And that Marine's name is Mr. Nick Velez. Nick, after he got out of the Marine Corps, took a chance and he started a business. And it's not just a business. It's become kind of like a rally cry for Marines and veterans in his geographic area. The business is called Bastards Canteen. It's named after the magnificent bastards of 2-4. And it's become kind of like a community center, a place where veterans travel from all over Southern California to celebrate the Marine Corps birthday and Veterans Day. And he's expanding. And what I want you to get from this story is that Nick took a lot of chances to do this. He by no means was guaranteed success, but he applied what he learned in the Marine Corps to create that awesome restaurant. And today he's expanding that business. They're heading to other locations, and the goal, I believe, is to end up across the country. And I want you to see how this was done, because Nick's a great guy, but there's nothing particularly special or crazy about him, right? He's just somebody who's put a lot of work into what he does and a lot of work into becoming successful. And Nick is also the founder of a veterans charity called Save the Brave that I believe is doing some great work. And Scott, his former commanding officer, is serving on the board. And they're a great organization, and they're doing a lot of amazing things. So what I wanted to do is I wanted to bring not just Nick on, but also Scott to tell this story, to tell the story of this Marine who served bravely and then decided to come home and continue to serve by creating and building a community that is having a major impact here in Southern California, and that will soon have a major impact, I believe, across the country. So you're going to get a lot out of this interview. Pull out your pen and your paper, because Nick is going to deliver a whole lot of lessons. And let's get into it. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the show. And I'm joined here by two awesome Marines. We've got Mr. Scott Using, who we've had on this show several times before. More deployments than most men have had sexual partners. Really, really awesome guy, author of Echo and Ramadi. We've also got Mr. Nick Velez, who is the founder and owner of Bastards, which is a canteen in Downey, California. They're also coming up with a few more locations. But one of the big things we try to do on the show is to bring you stories of veterans who've gone out there and really fought in the civilian world to make things happen. And I think that this is one such story. This is the story of a Marine and a group of Marines who applied what they learned in the Corps to create some success and to make something beautiful. And what I want to do right now is kind of pass this wand over to Scott for a second.
Yeah, well, hey, Chris, thanks for having me on as a guest again. It's always a pleasure. I think this is the third or fourth time. So I'm trying to have you come up with a Warrior Soul t-shirt that says like the five episode, like Saturday Night Live, you know, fifth member, maybe you might get a special t-shirt out of this. So that's my goal. That's my goal. So, but no, it's great being on the show, and you are always sharing great stories. And this one, we're really talking not just about Nick and me, we're talking about veteran entrepreneurship and being successful and coming through not just 24 years in the Marine Corps or 4 years in the Marine Corps or whatever branch of service you're in, and taking all those lessons despite any hardships and adversity, but also those intangible things we learn, careers, and dealing with unknown circumstances and overcoming that. And what's really great is Nick has done that on multiple fronts since he left the Marine Corps. And our journey began way back in 2006 when I checked into Echo Company, 2nd Battalion, 4th Marines, the Magnificent Bastards, which is Nick's restaurant, Bastards American Canteen, affectionately called for our battalion call sign. And we were soon introduced and then thrust into the city of Ramadi in 2006, which was the height of the fighting of the insurgency called the Surge, which was ordered by President George W. Bush and General Abizade back then to flood the battle space with an additional 20,000 troops to really hammer down on all that. And despite all of that and all the fighting and the friction and the loss, we all came through that. And since then, you know, we moved on to separate careers, Nick and I, and then back in 2014 or 15, through Nick's success with the restaurant, which he'll talk about, he also started a nonprofit on his own called Save the Brave, which he started in January of 2015. And a couple months after he got all the paperwork done and did all the legwork and the monotonous filing of paperwork, he called me and said, "Hey, sir, I would really love if you would be the executive director." And I didn't hesitate, because I knew that Nick, through all the success he had, not only in the Marine Corps, but in business, he was going to do this the right way at the right rate. And since then, we've helped hundreds of veterans at SaveTheBrave.org. And that's how we've come to this episode on Warrior Soul podcast, to really share a little bit more about, you know, not just our meeting and our unique relationship as one young Marines commanding officer, now a friend and partner in this business, this nonprofit that we have that is 100% nonprofit. None of us take a salary. We do it all for free. We're all volunteer, and we do it at the beginning and the end of every day to help veterans. That's what we do.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. And just to let everybody know, you know, I lived down in that area of, Downey, California for a while. And, you know, hearing, I had a lot of Marine veterans who came to train at the gym who were highly influenced by Nick. And I feel like absolute shit, 'cause I just reached out to Nick last week to try to introduce myself. It took years to do so, but Nick, welcome to the show, man.
Hey, thanks for having me on board, brother.
So, you know, tell me a little bit about your story here. You ended up joining the Marine Corps. Did you grow up in Downey?
I grew up in the LA area, inner city, East Los Angeles area. Joined the Marine Corps in 2005. Went to boot camp in San Diego. From there, School of Infantry, then 2nd Battalion, 4th Marines. I was an Echo Company Marine from beginning to end.
You're coming in. You're a private PFC Lance Corporal, and you know, Scott's a guy who's been in the Marine Corps. You know, he started, I believe, in 1988. Worked his way through the first Gulf War, and then back in as an officer. What was your first impression of Scott?
You know, like I was saying, you know, as a Lance Corporal, you know, all you want to do is really stay away from you know, the upper echelon, all the, you know, all the higher command, just because, you know, you don't want to get in any kind of trouble. But, you know, coming into Echo Company, you know, I think Major Husing knew he was coming into, you know, a company that was very special and was more than a company. Was very much more like a family. And when he came in, he didn't really, you know, come in into, you know, to be that intimidating CO, you know, command officer that's just going to, you know, chew us out on our uniforms and boots and high and tights and all that crap. He was just more so, you know, getting us prepared for combat. And, you know, I didn't really, I just viewed him as our officer that was in charge, and he was, you know, he's the guy that called the shots and pretty much, you know, trained us and got us ready for combat. And, there was not much thought to it. I was really just trying to survive and live the Lance Corporal, boot life. You know, I think my senior Lance Corporals were a lot tougher than Scott was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was that workup like? Did you guys know what you were getting into when you got in? How long was it from the time that you entered the Marine Corps till you went on that first deployment, Nick?
All right. So I joined the Marine Corps in 2005, and we deployed in, I believe, September of 2006, correct, sir?
Yeah, correct.
Yeah, so we deployed September 2006. So I got to 2-4 Echo Company in January of 2006. So I was a boot for a very long time in that company. And, you know, being a boot in the Marine Corps, and, you know, I'm sure a lot of your audience knows what a boot is, you know, but it's being in the infantry and being a boot is not easy. You know, you get to sit into the freaking deal all the time, working parties, fire watch, post, you name it. So it was a tough workup, you know, with that, you know, in regards to that. But, you know, we trained a lot and constantly, you know, going to, you know, 29 Palms, you know, going on ship, at sea periods. It took us about, you know, it was a good 5-month workup before we actually deployed. And then we deployed, and it was another 9-10 month deployment. We got extended about 3 times during that deployment. You know, we lost some good guys on the deployment. You know, but yeah, you know, on my time in Echo Company and 2-4 was a really good, you know, was a really I would say the best time of my life. You know, and I learned a lot. Some of my best friends that I still, you know, hang around with today came from came from 2-4 Echo Company. It was, to me, it was more than just the workup and a deployment to Iraq and combat and all that. That was just, that just kind of happened, you know? I mean, that's what we did, you know, being in the infantry, being grunts, you kind of expect that. But I got a lot more from you know, from that battalion than combat. And that's the family, you know, that's the brotherhood.
Now, Scott, I got to ask this because, you know, as a company commander, obviously you're not going to know every single one of your Marines. It's a position where, you know, you're just not going to get to know everybody. What made certain Marines stand out for you, like Nick and like others?
Well, it was such a fast paced tempo when we checked in, and it was notable to the point where I actually wrote about that workup in Echo and Ramadi, because I checked in on a Wednesday to the battalion, drove across the country, parked my Jeep, checked in on a Wednesday, took command on a Friday, slept in my office. And then that next Tuesday we were driving to our old stomping grounds in 29 Palms, California, in the high desert. And that training and workup with 200 brand new Marines, some Ramadi vets from 2004, senior lance corporals and sergeants and corporals. What was remarkable about that was they knew the importance of the training, and there wasn't any of this heavy-handed, you know, boot talk or this training sucks, it's not reality. They remarked to me, those veterans of the first battle of Ramadi, how important this training was. And I think I saw that at so many different levels from those that have been there, to emphasize the importance on that. And that really geared us up for the deployment, which took place just several months after that. So we had a very time compressed training cycle, especially as a helicopter borne company. Then we deploy, we do a training gig in India. We're the first US military company ever to set foot on Indian soil and train with the 21st Punjab. And then we get back on the ship on the Marine Corps birthday, November 10th, 2006, the MU commander stands in front of the entire crew and says, "We are going to Iraq." And we all knew it was on the horizon. The war was already boiling over. And you don't get to know every single Marine, especially at the lower levels, because you've got so much on your plate. And if you're focused on just, you know, everybody, and guys like Nick, he was kind of a ninja. I got to be honest with you. He was pretty quiet. There were times when he skylined himself, which I won't go into detail about. But, you know, throughout all that, you don't know every intimate detail of every single Marine, but Nick was a guy that stood out. I absolutely can say that I knew him. I knew who he was. Everybody has different personalities and ways they stand out. But I think the thing that Nick mentioned earlier was we weren't some elite group of Marines. We weren't the badass Marines that you see on the posters. We were a Marine infantry company, and there's plenty of guys that fought harder and suffered more, but we had this really remarkable chemistry as a company. And I don't know what that was attributed to specifically. I'd have to say it was the leadership at every level, from the sergeants and corporals and the young lieutenants and guys like Nick that stood up, took charge when things were at its worst. They were at their best. And that's really something that you look back on now, as Nick was saying, taking what you learned from the Marine Corps. I loved how you just said that, Nick. I got so much more out of the Marine Corps than just going to war, because when we discuss things with the nonprofit at Save the Brave or his business that is hugely successful for over 7 years now at Bastards American Canteen in Downey, he's taken the model of military planning and small unit leadership, and he applies that every single day to the discipline that he does. And that, to me, it's not just Nick. There are hundreds and thousands of other Marines, soldiers, sailors, and airmen that are using that model for success and applying it as entrepreneurs and business people in the private sector. And that in and of itself, Chris, you're one of them, as well as a fellow Marine and brother, that makes me extremely proud to continue to share stories like this, because they are important. They are examples for others to follow. And that's really what we're all about, what we do, especially on this show, is sharing the network and sharing the connections and our secrets of success and not hoarding those because others need to hear that.
You know, that's one of the things, Scott, because I hear from a lot of veterans and I appreciate you including me in that. I'm by so many different veterans that I hear about who have achieved success. But you know, for Nick, one of the things I hear from a lot of guys who served in the infantry is they say, oh, I don't have any transferable skills. All I know how is to do this. And they get out into the world with this kind of attitude. But when I talked to you a week ago, you're on the phone and you were describing your business planning process for when you decided to open up Bastard's Canteen. You were able to transfer a lot of those skills to getting this business off the ground and making it happen. Can you talk a little bit about that, Nick, and how you came up with this idea and what your planning process was like and what did you take from the Marine Corps to do it?
Well, you know, the Marine Corps is a university in its own way. The Marine Corps, you know, is structured to be able to take individuals from the civilian world into a world of making this killing machine and training this killing machine, to deploy them to a different country and win battles. But those battles are not just won, you know, with strength. They're won with brains. They're won with tactics. And these tactics are not just made up, and they're just not, you know, you just don't get up and go. They're well thought out. And a lot of this is all, it all has to do with planning. And, you know, Major Houston can tell you all about it. That's all he did in the Marine Corps was plan. And one thing that we did learn in the Marine Corps was, you know, especially in infantry, is that planning is very important, especially, you know, a planning order, you know, and by the name of OSMIAC, right? Operation, Situation, Mission, Execution, Admin, Command and Signal. And now with that, you know, that's something we learned, right? Well, in the Marine Corps, that's something that's taught and to us every single time before we go into any single battle, before we go into any single building. Anything we do, there's always an order, right? Whether it's a frag order or warning order or whatever it might be. But, you know, this order is really a freaking business plan. That's all it is in the real world. It's a business plan. It's the same thing. It's going to tell you, you know, how the sun, you know, where the sun rises, you know, what time it sets, you know, what the weather is for that neighborhood is, you know, what the community is like, what the community likes to wear, what do they like to eat? Where are they most likely going to walk, you know, walk from or walk through? It's the same concept. So, you know, we applied that, you know, what we learned in the Marine Corps, which is OSMIAC. And I said, hey, you know what? I don't know how to put together a business plan, but I know how to put together an OSMIAC. And I did that. And I pretty much laid out, you know, at that time, you know, what I envisioned Bastards, or what myself and my partner, Calvin Spencer, envisioned Bastards. And we gave ourselves a 5-year plan with that OSMIAC. And from there, we know we broke it down. You know, we had our execution and a lot of it, you know, was, you know, went out the window as soon as we opened up doors, but we had a plan. And that's the most important thing, you know, with anyone getting out the Marine Corps, is that, especially out of the infantry, is that you already learned a great, great concept or structure of planning that guys and you know, students go to 4-year universities and don't learn this crap and get out and have an MBA and can't put together a freaking business plan or an OSMIAC, but you can, because you put it in combat and you put it where life and death is in on the line. So now when you apply it to the real world and you apply it to a business, it's just that much easier. You understand? Well, it just feels that much easier for me. So You know, I tell vets this all the time. I say, hey, man, you know, it's easy. It's real for me. It's really easy to open up a restaurant. It's really easy to open up a bar. It just becomes easy because I feel that I've done things in life, especially in the Marine Corps and the infantry, where, you know, life and death is what we do. So, hey, you know, if you lose here in the business world, it's okay. You know, you can just get up and try it again. You're not going to freaking, you know, ship you home in a casket. You know, you're going to be able to, you know, get up and try it again. So, you know, again,
that's definitely the truth right there, man. That's definitely the truth. And one of the things you said right there, and Scott's typing it over here, is that, you know, you can plan to your blue in the face, but a lot of times that plan's not going to survive first contact, right? It's got to change. You got to be adaptable. And, you know, one of the things I want to ask you right now is, when you first opened up the doors, or let's say the first day you got your piece of property and you're walking in, you're trying to plan this thing out, what were some of the ways that you had to adapt? What were some of the ways that you had to change? What were some of the things you had to do to think on your feet?
We got to backtrack a little bit here. I don't have a restaurant background at all. I have no rest. I've never worked in a restaurant. I hate fucking restaurants. I never pictured myself working in a restaurant, owning a restaurant. I was on my way to college. I wanted to go to law school. I never pictured myself working in a fucking restaurant, owning restaurants. I'll tell you that much, ever in a million years. But I was living in Seattle at the time, going to college. My dad, you know, he was in the real estate business, and his office is across the street from his restaurant that he knew the owner was kind of, you know, having a hard time paying the bills. So, you know, he said, hey, Nick, you know, there's a place down here that's, this guy's having a hard time paying the bills. You know, I think we can get in here and maybe, you know, you can come in here and you can run this place and you can do whatever you got to do. I said, all right, let me drive down there and I'll take a look at it. I don't know anything about restaurants. But I never backed down. At that point in Seattle, I was actually at another startup business. Not to talk too much about it, but it was, you know, we're doing a little bit of judgment recovery, and it was a niche business. It was cool, but you know, it was kind of boring. So my dad came up, you know, said, hey, his idea is pretty cool. I think you can come in here and you can run this. Come check it out. I came down. I called my buddy, Calvin Spencer, who I served in the Marine Corps with. He was a 2-4 Marine with me. He was an Echo. And Calvin Spencer, I remember that, you know, he lived in Downey. He was my boy. We used to carpool together on the weekends. And he always say, hey, after the Marine Corps, I'm going to culinary school. So after the Marine Corps, he went to culinary school. He got his degree from Cordon Bleu. He opened up the kitchen for a restaurant in Long Beach area. And, you know, on Facebook, I would see him constantly post all these dishes and all these things he was doing. So I said, fuck, I'm going to go reach out to Calvin and see if he wants to come take a look at the restaurant, you know, to see if we can possibly team up or do something together. So I call him up and say, hey, Calvin, come on board, meet me here at this restaurant. I don't know what the fuck's going on there. I've never been there, but I think we might have an opportunity to do something. So Calvin meets me there. You know, we walk into this restaurant called like Downey Downtown Barbecue Company. I don't know. It's the fucking longest name. It's an alphabet. All right. We walk in, the place is completely empty, or there's a bartender. And I mean, it's just awkward. It was a really awkward place. It's in the corner of 2nd and Downey Avenue. I remember driving through this street. We lived in Downey at the time. Both Calvin and myself, our families live in Downey. So this corner of 2nd and Downey Avenue was a vacant street. It was vacant. It was like, there was hardly any businesses there. It was just starting. There was no commerce there really. So every business that I have ever known that's been there, you know, literally went under within a year, no more than a year. So that barbecue restaurant was probably, you know, it was way into freaking, you know, kick the curb and call it quits. So, you know, Calvin said, hey, dude, this is pretty cool. I think I want to jump on board, man. I think we can do something here. So he liked the barbecue concept that, that they had there. So we kind of piggybacked off the barbecue, but, you know, he gave it his twist and he revamped the menu. We closed down shop, and had about, I don't know, I'm not going to lie to you. Like I opened up that place with us like $50,000 in my bank account. And that's buying all the equipment. It's buying. I'm telling you, I had all my boys from the Marine Corps come in, working party up. They were helping me paint. I had guys that, you know, worked for freaking, you know, I'm not going to mention names or whatever, but we acquired paint. We acquired what we had to do. But these guys were fucking, they made it happen. And, you know, that's what Bastards is. It's not just myself. It's not, you know, it's Calvin and it's a group of the guys that, and all the vets that, that came together and helped us put it together. And, you know, story, you know, of Bastards really started with the name, right? Mm-hmm. Without the name, we wouldn't be here talking today, really, you know, at the end of the day, that's, it's what started, you know, the controversy. It's what started the conversation about who we are and what we do. You know, we decided to name the restaurant after our battalion, you know, they called us Bastards in battle. They called us Bastards in the rear and we were proud of it. You know, we were damn proud of being the Bastard Battalion. So,
I think that whole thing too, Nick, is that's a scary concept for a lot of guys to cough up your life savings, ask friends for favors to overcome that fear of failure. And, you know, whether you there's, but that fear I think is important because it surrounds us in combat, in the planning phase. You never know what's going to happen around each corner. And it's the same thing in business. It's the same thing in any entrepreneurial endeavor. And through that, through your dad, Vince Velez. Vince, you are awesome, by the way. Vince does just more than set Nick up for success. He's an integral part to Save the Brave too, and does a lot of work behind the scenes. And I love Vince. He's amazing. Both Nick's mom and dad are super supportive. And all the Marines, like Calvin, and, you know, let's give Chino a shout out too, because he's like the HMFIC of your working parties in any endeavor. And that type of brotherhood, it just overflowed, Chris, into everything that Nick has done with that business. And the fact that the fear, and I'm going to hand it back over for Nick, is to call your restaurant Bastards and throw a cuss word in there. Is there was a little apprehension by the city council but Nick, tell everyone how you overcame that and then how the name itself just blew up.
Yeah, I mean, okay. So we were at a bar when we thought about the name, you know. The Marine Corps was established at a bar, so it only made sense to come up with a name at a bar, right? Born at a bar, Bastard. Calvin's like, you know, we're going to get a lot of shit for this. And we knew it was going to happen, but we just kind of let it happen. And, you know, we put up a big sign that said, Bastards Canteen coming soon. The next day, I got a call from city council. I knew it was them. I rejected the call. It went to voicemail. It went to voicemail. They fucking left me like three messages. Mr. Velez, please call us back. But at that point, I already applied for the business license. They already had said yes. I had got my business license. So, you know, I knew that there was nothing they can do, you know? And I knew that if they tried to, that, well, then I was going to have to call, you know, QRS, right? Mm-hmm. So as soon as that happened, you know, I was like, fuck, you know, they're going to give a shit now. Now they want to have a meeting. You know, one of the council members called me and said, hey, Nick, let's just meet. I'm like, all right, let's get together. Let's talk. So, I get with them. They say, hey, Nick, Calvin, we want you guys to change the name to MDs, what do you think about MBs? Like, MBs, like, yeah, Magnificent Bastards. I'm like, no, that's not it. You know, I'm like, it has to be Bastards, right? It just can't be MBs, and it can't be Magnificent either, right? We're not the Magnificent.
Violating one of the tenets of Marine Corps planning, don't fall in love with your plan, which he was.
Definitely. So we named it Bastards. The Marine Corps Times decided to follow up on a story. They followed up on our story. They put us on blast. We were in every freaking base, you know, from here to Afghanistan. And from there, it just kind of blew up, you know. ABC picked up the story, local news picked up the story, a lot of local press picked up the story. And when we opened, we had so much support from the local community, the American Legions, those guys, the Patriot Guard, all the Patriot Guard, those guys are awesome. You know, and back then, you know, in 2012, when we opened Bastards, the veteran community was there in 2012, but I would say it was just starting. You really didn't have what you have today. You know, all these nonprofits, all these veteran celebrity guys, all these guys, because everyone was still in the fight. You know, everyone was still in the fight. So then, you know, back then the guys who were really supporting us were the Vietnam vets, the Korean vets, you know, and maybe the World War II vets, if there were any walking around. But those guys, you know, I got to give it up to those guys. They were there during our ribbon cutting ceremony. They were there during our grand opening when they heard that the city was giving us a hard time about the name. They wrote the Downey Patriot. They wrote into the editorial and gave them their opinion of why we do deserve to have an establishment named Bastards in the community, and why we need an establishment like Bastards in every community in the United States. It's important to have that camaraderie of not only community, but the military, because, you know, everyone thinks, you know, you have to introduce, you know, or, you know, introduce the military to the community, but it's, you know, the community has to be involved with the military and its veterans, and as much as the vets and the military have to be involved with the community. We work together, and that's where Downey and that's where Bastards met. And that's what we're going to do in Temecula, and that's what we're going to do in Coachella. We're your modern day VFW American Legion. And we're that, we're here to, it's not just about, you know, getting guys in here, serving them an ice cold beer and, you know, a good burger. No, it's more than that. You know, it's more than that. We have a nonprofit, SaveTheBrave.org, that caters to vets, that struggle through post-traumatic stress, or just simply having a hard time and a hard week and maybe want to get out into the water and go fishing and just get away from the everyday BS you have to deal with at work. And that's what we do. We take veterans out fishing. We have equine rides. One of our outreach coordinators, Lalo Lopez, fucking does an outstanding job putting together these outreach programs with the offshore, with Save the Brave Offshore. And it's awesome. But this year we took 12 veterans.
I want to get into that. I want to talk about Save the Brave, and I want to talk about all the awesome things you do. One thing I want to mention here is that, and this is something I tell new entrepreneurs all the time: you can't be afraid of offending anybody, right? You can't be afraid of offending anybody, and you can't be afraid of being controversial. And in fact, I think in today's world where we have so much communication and there's so many new businesses starting up all the time, I would say that if you're not somewhat divisive, if you're not hanging a flag out there and showing what you stand for and what you stand against and not backing down, then I'd say that you probably aren't going to have a successful business. And I think that's something that's huge that you guys did there. You stood up for the name, you stood up for what you believed in, and you hung a flag out there saying who you guys were. And I think that's absolutely amazing.
Yeah. And But it's you know, then again, it's beyond the name now, you know, once we opened, the name was just the name, right? Mm-hmm. You know, the decor was just the decor. It's what we did. It's the type of culture that we set, and that we gave the community and Bastards, you know, every veteran that walked into to the establishment, every civilian, and anyone who walked in, they knew that they were in a special place. They knew that this place meant more to us than just a place that it was going to pay our bills, because they didn't pay any bills. I'll tell you that much, you know.
Yes,
we sacrificed and we still sacrifice to do what we want to do, what we want to do, and to do what we envision to do and what we plan to do. But the name, you know, was just the first step, you know. After that was what we brought to the table was the Marine Corps birthdays that the city of Downing and all LA County now travels to every year. And we have over 1,000 veterans plus Marines plus that show up to this event.
Well, wait,
Memorial Day event.
You're missing one big part of that, Nick, which we always talk about, is you really are transforming the perception despite this abrasive name. And I love that Chris mentioned that too, is you took a stand. No one wants these middle of the fucking road people that are so vanilla. They're not willing to do this. They're not willing to do that. But by planting that flag and doing what you do, you really did transform the perception of what traditionally these boozy VFW posts and smoky men filled rooms. You've included not just veterans, not just Marines, but the community and the family. And you've made this place in Downey for over seven years now, this amazing place where every single person is welcome. Everyone in the community is now introduced to what you do. And I think that's the most important thing as you continue to expand to Temecula and Coachella and shit. It's going to be across the country here before we know it, but it allows people to come together and not sit around and get plastered drunk off their bar stools and tell the same old tired war stories that our generation, frankly, just doesn't like doing. We like to talk about success and what we're doing now and occasionally drop in. You remember that, but the fact that the families are included, and now you walk into Bastards and Downey, Chris, and when you go in there, it is placarded with military and Marine Corps stuff. It's just such a cool feel when you walk in that place. But you feel warm, not because of the stuff hanging on the walls. You feel this sense of warmth and family and love because there's families in there. There's kids in high chairs and there's a patio. And there's just this great feeling of togetherness that Nick and his entire team at Bastards have really created. And it's not... It really is not your typical restaurant. It's Nick is so visionary in everything he does, and it just bleeds over into SaveTheBrave.org that helps our veteran community who are struggling. And that's something I'm so proud of Nick and everyone on the team at SaveTheBrave.org and at Bastards Canteen. I think that is such a cool message to really pull the string on, Chris.
One thing I want to mention here too. You know, life is crazy. Life is an absolutely insane thing. And I know that, last year we lost Calvin Spencer, and, I know that that's a massive tragedy. And I also know that you guys, speaking of family, kind of came together here as a family to help Calvin's family, but also to keep him in your memories. Do you guys want to mention that and kind of talk about a little bit more about who Calvin was? I know you mentioned him just before, but you know, and how this loss has affected everything.
Where do I start, man? Calvin. Calvin was my best friend. You know, he was more than my best, more than my partner. He was just one of my brothers. You know, one of my Echo Company brothers that I served with in the Marine Corps. And then I got out, I opened up a business. So it was just more than just a Marine brother. It was just It's just, it was blood without being blood. You know, I miss that guy every single day. And I mean, with Calvin gone, it's just, the only thing I can say is that we miss him dearly, but it's made us stronger. It's made me stronger as an individual and as a business leader, I had to kind of fill that void that we lost, and we'll never be able to replace. So, you know, you really, really get to really have to, I mean, fuck, it's really even difficult to talk about Calvin, but
yeah, you really have to take a step back.
You really have to take a step back. You got to ask yourself whether you wanted to continue to do this or have I just wanted to quit, you know, especially when, you know, he was really the brains behind the restaurant part. I brought in more of the vision of where we can go and the entertainment part and, you know, the events and the promo and the marketing part. But you know, as far as operations and all that, he was the man, you know. Luckily, one of our other buddies who we served in the Marine Corps with us, went to boot camp, school of infantry with us, and was not a 2-4 Marine. He went to 1-5, but Manny Maeda, came on board a year before, 2 years before Calvin had passed. So he was able to, you know, pick up a lot of that slack with us, and now he's just killing it. But yeah, we had to, you know, Manny and myself had to pretty much, you know, understand that Calvin was going to be gone forever, and that now it was time for us to be able to learn or to observe as much as we can or absorb as much as we can, in the culinary side of the house. And that's the part that the restaurant, you know, can either break you or make you. No one wants a shitty kitchen, right? And Manny having the bartending side, he could lock that down, no problem. But we struggled for a year, you know, finding the right kitchen manager, finding the right chef to run this. People would say, hey, it doesn't taste, you know, the food doesn't taste the same, you know, and it's hard to go into work and hear that, because you know it. I know it. I'm like, fuck, I know it ain't the same. You know, no one has that taste that Calvin had. But you know, there was people that we had trained, and just like the Marine Corps, we learned that you have to train every single freaking Marine in your fire team with every single weapon system that there is in a fire team or in a squad. So with that said, Calvin trained individuals in the kitchen to, you know, and he trained them, you know, he trained our kitchen manager, Tony Fascio. He started off as a dishwasher, brought him up as a prep cook, then from a prep cook to a line cook, then to a kitchen manager. So with Calvin, you know, gone now, we say, hey, we brought our old team back, and we were able to, you know, recuperate, you know, by, you know, bringing in pieces that I would say, you know, helped us and are going to help us to continue the mission. But, you know, again, you know, losing Calvin is something that wasn't planned. It wasn't on the business plan. And it's something that we never thought, you know, we thought we were going to be, you know, grow old, you know, and just talk about all the BS, you know, but it didn't work out that way. So
it's one thing to lose Marines in combat, and you as a commander and as a Marine, you anticipate that. But when we lost Calvin tragically to a motorcycle accident, he was struck by a motorist. You know, no one ever sees that coming. And, you know, that's a gut wrenching feeling, because you just never brace for impact. And I'll be honest with you, when I got that phone call from Lalo Lopez, I was in disbelief. And Bastards closed down. I think it was a couple of days, Nick. The doors were shut. And I'll be honest with you, we were all a little worried because it impacted Nick so heavily because of the relationship. We were concerned, you know, is this something that he can overcome? And to honor Calvin's spirit and everything he poured into that, within days, Nick rebounded and the doors were back open. Nick modified, he changed, and we memorialized Calvin and his family, and all the Marines gathered together from Echo Company up there in Downey, and the family and the funeral home next door did the service for free, and they gave of themselves. And just to think back on that dark time is something that, you know, you lose, and that's life, and but you don't ever expect it to understand that. Calvin understood this even back then, and Nick understands it now through that tragedy. There's never one single point of failure in any organization. If you're doing the right things as a leader, training those under you to do your job, and there's never a single point of failure. That, I think, has been something I've observed, not just as a commander or as Nick's friend and partner in Save the Brave, but he's realized that, and despite the loss of Calvin, and everything that he brought into everyone's life, he was such a huge personality and had such a great smile. That's what I loved about that guy. That's the real lesson learned for anyone, is making sure that you don't have those single points of failure in your business or your organization, so it does sustain. If that's your vision, to have Bastards or Save the Brave around for, you know, 10 years or 100 years, you have to develop your team to understand that this thing is going to go on even in your absence. And Nick realized that from a micro perspective. We just took off to Alaska, and we tried our best to stay off our phones and just unplug for a little bit. And when we came back, Nick said something to me as he's over here at my ranch in Temecula. He's like, yeah, the business didn't cave in on itself, so I must be doing something right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I want to head over and start talking a little bit about what you guys are doing there at Save the Brave. And I guess I'll pre-frame this discussion with this. Just as there's been I think a massive boom in businesses, there's also been a boom in veteran service organizations and 501c3 charities. And I think that there's a lot of organizations doing a lot of great work, but there's certain organizations that are doing outstanding work, and you guys seem to be doing outstanding work there. Tell us a little bit about the organization, what you guys do, and how it came about.
Well, Nick, can you talk about how you had the brainstorm for Save the Brave, and then I'll talk about what we're doing now.
Yeah. So 2015, I believe it was 2015.
Yeah, January.
I think it was 2015. Yeah, January 5th, 2015. We incorporated into a nonprofit, a 501c3. But before that, it took about a good 6 to 8 months to really get that, to really get it going, and what really, you know, really started the entire process of Save the Brave and all that was the veteran suicide, right? No one wants to talk about it. I hate talking about that. But you know, veteran suicide, you know, at that time, for some reason, we're losing a lot of guys to suicide. You know, I don't know what the fuck was going on then. Kind of not saying it slowed down, but I think, you know, there's guys that are kind of, you know, I don't know. They're either getting tougher or they're just kind of realizing just that's not an option, man. But around that time, you know, we had a lot of guys that were struggling, and, you know, I think we had lost 3 guys in Echo Company. And I was having a hard time myself, with just, you know, drinking and just, you know, not really happy in life. And, I had the business going and all that, but it was just okay. Life was okay. And I was like, whatever about it. And my buddy, he's a counselor at the vet center. And he invited me to a fishing trip, and and Mammoth was put together by the Pasadena Casting Club. And it was a group of doctors. Guys, none of these guys were vets. And these doctors sponsored 8 of us veterans to go on a fly fishing trip. And I said, hey, why the hell are these freaking doctors taking care of us? Us Marines, we, you know, all we do is fucking yell about, oh, we, all we do is take care of our own. We love our brothers, but no one's taking care of our own. And, you know, I was kind of like motivated in a way by these civilians, right, that were doing this. So, I thought about a name. I said, hey, you know what? I was listening to a song and I thought I heard the name Save the Brave. I don't know. I swear I heard it on a country song. And I'm like, hey, I think that'll be a cool name. Save the Brave. So I contacted a Vietnam vet by the name of Ernie Delgado, who is our vice president, and he had just retired. He is working he had retired for like the second or third time in his life, but this time he was serious. And he's like, "Yeah, you know what? I got some time, and I'll help you." And I said, "Okay." So at that time, it was just Ernie and myself, and we put the work together, and we contacted an attorney, and we put the 501c3, we paid the fees, and we got it going. And then from there, we operated the nonprofit for a good, maybe, you know, 6 months before I asked, Scott to come on board. And we needed direction. I knew now that we had the 501c3, you know, we had a ticket. We had the golden ticket to be able to help more guys, but we had to be able to ask, you know, the right people and be able to fundraise and be able to, you know, have good leadership. And I was, you know, knee deep in bastards, and I still am. So I needed support there, and I reached out to my company commander, and him and I had, you know, had a pretty cool relationship at that point. He would come to all our events at Bastards, come to our Memorial Day events, our Marine Corps birthday events. He'd, you know, be our guest speaker. So, you know, we were good friends at that time. So I just asked him, and, you know, and he said, yeah, let's do it. So it just kind of, it was maybe, I think it was a no brainer at the time. And, you know, as soon as he came on board, we had a big tragedy that we, you know, probably one of the biggest tragedies, one of the hugest tragedies that we suffered in 2-4 Echo Company, and that's the loss of Sergeant Simon Lickey. And again, we lost him to the fight of you know, to the battle that was not in Ramadi, but that was here in stateside, you know, and that suicide. But that comes with drugs and alcohol and a bunch of shit that you know, it's just not. You know, and you and I talked about it a little bit. It's, you know, the more people talk about it, the more it becomes an option, and it becomes a seed in people's yeah. brain. And alcohol waters that plant, waters that seed. You know, more pain, more prescription. You know, all these pills that the VA issues you and whatever, it waters that seed, and it doesn't help. So, you know, our buddy was struggling and going through some tough times, and he went through a tough time, and he was a very intelligent guy. Fucking stud, great fucking dude. Just had a maybe, you know, a rough night, and then it didn't end well for him. But with that, you know, it I think it, you know, it made Scott and myself, you know, realize that fuck, you know, like we can't lose any more guys. Like I know the sir fucking, you know, spend an entire deployment and workup training us and out, you know, and deployment, you know, making sure that we're alive. You know, just to come, you know, back to the States and say that mission is over. And I think that's total BS. And that's why I respect, you know, our, you know, Major Hughes a lot, you know, more than a lot of other, you know, officers or any other people in the military, you know, or all these famous, you know, veteran celebs, is because as a commanding officer, he still carries that mission that, you know, not only in combat, but now in the rear, he's still making sure that his Marines are fucking taken care of. And that's by, you know, by being the president of, you know, the 2-4 Association and making sure that those guys are taken care in that regard, or you know, or leading Marines and veterans, not only Marines, but veterans in general at SaveTheBrave.org. He's making sure that we're all squared away and taken care of as a CO does in combat and in the rear. And that's something that you don't see a lot. And, you know, hats off to Scott, really. Hats off to him and what he does. It means a lot to me, and I know it means a lot to the Marines that served under his command.
Yeah, that's it's a big, big factor. And what I appreciate about what you guys are doing is that you're carrying that mantle, helping guys to become better. I think that there was a while there within the veteran community where there were certain people propagating a stereotype, and you can call it like dysfunctional veteran, you can call it whatever, but there was a certain stereotype that I think that we were almost propagating as a community. And you know, one of the reasons why I do what I do is because I know that we're all better than that. And I know that there is no fate that's written in stone. Things can go either way. They can go really well, or they can go really bad. And it depends on what side of your consciousness you're feeding. And what I appreciate about what you guys are doing is that, you know, not only are you providing this organization, but you're giving examples of success, right? Showing people that it is possible, that this doesn't have to be a nightmare in your post-military life, that it could be an absolute dream. And yeah, there's still going to be bad shit that happens. Yeah, there's still going to be tragedy. There's still going to be pain. And I don't think that there's anybody on earth that can mask themselves from that. But at the same time, we've got to do our best to do our best. And we owe that to everybody who put their lives on the line. We owe that to this country, and we owe it to ourselves.
Well, there's over 450,000 registered 501(c)s in the veteran nonprofit space. And we are just one small part of that. And some of them are doing great things. We most certainly are. We've helped hundreds of vets over the last 5 years, and our Gold Star families in some of the good times and some of the tragic times. And we're proud of that. And we do what we do. And I always tell the team that let's be good at what we're good at. And that is connecting veterans, because there's no pill or vaccine that the VA is prescribing people that's any better than connecting veterans. Connection really is the cure. And that's what we provide in some small capacity. And maybe fishing's not your thing. Maybe it's not dogs or backpacking, whatever. But we're there for them. And we are helping these veterans escape some of the doldrum of life and maybe reconnect to that brotherhood and sisterhood that we love so much as active duty members. And through that connection, Chris, that is something so powerful that SaveTheBrave.org does. And we do it in so many ways, not just offshore fishing in the Channel Islands with so much of the support we have from Stoked on Fishing and Akuma and all of our sponsors, all of our donors, but we do it through honoring our guys every single day. And just if this show drops before October 4th, I just want to say the third annual Simon R. Litke Memorial Golf Tournament will be held at Temecula Creek Inn in Temecula, California. You can sign up now. Go to SaveTheBrave.org. We want to see as many people out here to just bring people together. We're just trying to create opportunities for veterans and the public to come together and see what we do, hear our stories, and just connect. And again, who think they know what veterans are through one lens, see us through a completely different lens. And that is the lens of success through all of the hardships, all of the separation, all of the combat, all of the training. We want them to see us that we're not broken people. We're successful people doing amazing things. And you're doing amazing things by having us on the show, helping us, and every veteran and every guest you have on Warrior Soul Podcast, brother. You're a big part of that. And again, my hat goes off to you and to Nick for everything you guys do, because it helps me as well. And I'm a veteran. A lot of people, I think, don't see me as a veteran, even though I had 24 years in the Marine Corps and 10 deployments. It, you know, I'm one of those guys. And I don't ever say I'm the voice of the veteran community, but I think that sharing stories as a professional storyteller with what I do is important. And what you do is important. And we can communicate that message on multiple fronts. And we're going to continue to do it. And to say that we're going to go from 22 to zero and eliminate veteran suicide, that's not realistic, man. We're never going to be zero, but everybody can do something. But I'm telling you, anyone listening to this show, go to savethebrave.org, donate $5 or $50 or $5,000. You're going to make a difference. And we value everyone's contribution. We value everyone showing up to events at Bastards Canteen. And I value everybody that buys a book through Amazon for Echo and Ramadi, because a portion of the proceeds go to help save the brave. And that's what we do at the beginning and the end of every day. Is if we're not helping others, we're just really not helping ourselves. And I just want to say thanks again, brother.
Oh, man, I appreciate it. And I appreciate you guys coming on here. You know, one thing I spoke about this week is that, like you said, there's literally hundreds of thousands of veteran 501c3s out there. And one of the things that I see here that I think that a lot of people should take note of is the fact that Nick, when he was doing this, he knew to reach out. He knew to go to Scott. He knew to go to people who could help him out there. And what I see out there is far too many of these small 501c3s operating in isolation. They're not able. They're trying to do great work, but they're not able to gain traction because they're not making the connections they need to make. They're not reaching out to people that can help. And what they're doing instead is they're putting up their flag and they're just expecting that because they're a veteran service organization that people are going to be willing to help.
No, you have to partner, Chris, and it's just like any other company. If you're not cross-marketing, cross-promoting with other great 501c3s in the veteran space, which we do, we're benefactors and we are mutual supporters of other great nonprofits. I speak at other nonprofits. I help them out and we share this love. And I think that's really important for people that say, oh, I'm going to start another veteran nonprofit. Well, look at the good ones first, model how they do it. And then if you do want to start your own, or just join one that's already successful to take the burden off, so we're not cluttering up the space if your vision is in line with what someone else is doing. And that's why we're always looking for people to come on board with us. And we've had such a great year with corporate donors and sponsors. I mean, we just had Green Hills Memorial Park become a corporate sponsor. I want to say thank you to all of the team at Green Hills Memorial Park this year. We've had so many other people, Wiley X, Sunglasses, they're coming on board to help us out. They donate kit all the time. I mean, there's just a lot of good cross-pollination that is really the secret to continuing to grow as a business and as a company. And again, man, if people want to find out where we're at on social media, they can go to savethebrave.org to donate, join the team, send us an email. People can always find me at Echo and Ramadi on Instagram. And you can follow Nick at Bastards Canteen on Instagram and across social media. And we've got a new site for fishermen and fishing enthusiasts called @SaveTheBrave_offshore on Instagram. It shows all the cool fishing stuff we do. So thanks again, man, for having us on. I'm so grateful, brother. Love you.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And just before we wrap up here, Nick, I know you got two locations coming up, two new locations for Bastards coming up. One's going to be in Temecula. The other one's going to be in Coachella. What's the time frame on those? When can we go get some of those juicy burgers over in Temecula?
So Temecula, we're projected to open Marine Corps birthday, November 10th, 2019.
Awesome.
Okay. So it'd be a big weekend. Every year for the Marine Corps birthday, we go fucking big. All right. we go huge. The Marine Corps birthday in Downey, will again be happening. We have live bands, live entertainment, literally from, I think, 3 to like midnight. Beer gardens. We do a cake cutting ceremony. We have the oldest and the youngest Marine. We do it all. And then we'll do that here in Temecula and then Coachella. Hopefully we can open by, hopefully by, you know, by next, you know, by next spring. Hopefully if everything works out right, man. It's just, you know, it's just, I wish it would be easier than, you know, than it is to, you know, to plan it out and build it. But, you know, when you got the city involved and you got a lot of things involved, it's just permitting. It just takes up so much time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I'm looking forward to that. I am putting it on my calendar. I'm going to be there in Temecula on 10 November. And I hope a lot of the audience will be there as well. Again, I just want to thank you guys for coming on. I want to mention that all the links for everything ranging from Scott's book, Echo in Ramadi, all the way up through Bastards Canteen and Save the Braves is all going to be up on the show notes for this episode. And we'll also have links to get in touch with these guys on social media. So to everybody out there, number one, thank you all for listening. Number two, take these lessons, apply them, and get out there and live your best lives while you can. And we are out. Hey guys, I want to thank you guys for listening to this show. I apologize for some of the audio quality on there. We were getting a rough signal, but I think that the content was extremely useful for anybody who's trying to do anything in this life. I hope that you learned a lot from it. And we're going to have links up there for Bastards Canteen, for Save the Brave, and for Nick and Scott on their social media accounts. Listen, guys, life is short. And that is a scary thing, but it's also a good thing. It means that we don't have unlimited time to get done what we need to get done. That means that we have no reason to hesitate. And it also means that a lot of the fears we express to ourselves are actually lies. One thing I am starting is something called the Warriors Obituary Society. And what this is going to be is an organization that empowers men to live their absolute best lives, lives worthy of epic obituaries. Why am I doing this for men? Well, if you look at the statistics, men are statistically more likely to commit suicide, more likely to abuse drugs and alcohol, more likely to fall into bad behaviors, and more likely to fall into depression. I think that in a lot of ways, there are many men who aren't living out their purpose. And what I want this to be is a community where we are supporting each other, where we are driving each other, where we are holding each other accountable for making things happen in our lives. We're going to be focusing on things like fitness. We're going to be focusing on career and business. We're going to be focusing on relationships. But above all, we're going to be focusing on mental and spiritual development. As we move forward with this, I hope to grow it into a worldwide organization, a worldwide fraternity, where we are similar to some of the organizations you'll see coming out of the Ivy League or some of the other major universities, where we are helping each other to move ahead in our careers and move ahead in life. There's going to be an 8-week development program. And then after that, each brother is going to take his seat as a brother in this society. So if this is something that piques your interest, it is a paid program, but it's not going to be anything crazy. Let me know. You can DM me on Instagram or you can email me over at chris@warriorsoulagoge.com. That's chris@warriorsoulagoge.com. Again, I want to thank you for listening, and we'll be back at you later on this week with some more awesome content. This is Chris, out.